Welcome to the Upper Hand Podcast, where Chuck and Chris talk hand surgery.
We are two hand surgeons at Washington University in St. Louis, here to talk about all things hand surgery related, from technical to personal.
Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And thank you in advance for leaving a review and leaving a rating wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hey, Chris.
Hey, Chuck. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. It's an evening, and I miraculously helped put the kids to bed and did not fall asleep, although I was very, very close. It was a post-holiday clinic, so it was a crazy one. I'm sure you had one as well.
Yeah, I had an interesting day. I had a very busy clinic, and I had to squeeze a couple of surgeries in at the end of the day, which stressed out my nurse, stressed out the whole team, but I love it when it works out.
There was a day a couple of weeks ago where I squeezed a case in during the lunch break, which was amazing. Somehow pulled it off, finished the clinic on time, and if not a little early. But I'm in a conundrum right now where I'm trying to squeeze a case in before clinic this coming week and then a case at the end of clinic. So it's going to be a juggling act.
It is super interesting as we approach the end of the year. Every single patient that comes in that needs surgery says, can you do this before the end of the year? And I'm like, I would love to, and I'll work really hard to do it, but we could be looking at the end of January or February, actually, which is not my usual, and I feel badly, but there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on a recent episode, the uniqueness of American healthcare, put it at that. But I should have already picked up extra time at the end of this month for this reason, and I'm still jammed up because I'm just not leaving enough room for fractures and whatnot. So, it becomes a stressful December and hopefully a less stressful January.
Absolutely. Maybe a quick shout out to our partners at PracticeLink.
Yes. So the Upper Hand is sponsored by PracticeLink.com, the most widely used physician job search and career advancement resource. Becoming a physician is hard.
Finding the right job doesn't have to be. Join PracticeLink for free today at www.practicelink.com. You know, you and I are getting together. We do this in the evening sometimes, but when we have special guests from the West Coast, we can't do it at 6 a.m.
Yeah, we can't and we shouldn't. That would just be cruel to them. I feel bad when we have our West Coast colleagues travel to the East Coast for conferences and meetings, and we're making them get up at 3 a.m. their time to start a meeting. So, you know, we'll show a little mercy. We've got a special guest today. Dr. Michael Galvez is joining us. And I think, Chuck, you wanted to introduce Mike.
I definitely do. He lives in the same world that I do, which is super fun. We've shared a couple of patients, but I'd like to give a little bit about his background, which is super impressive. Mike is board certified in plastic and reconstructive surgery, and he works at Valley Children's Hospital. I believe he began there in 2019. His background is a degree in molecular and cellular biology from Cal Berkeley, medical degree from Stanford, and a Howard Hughes Medical Institute Research Fellowship followed. His residency in plastic and reconstructive surgery was also at Stanford, and then he completed two fellowships, the first in hand surgery at University of Washington in Seattle, and then a six-month fellowship with our friends at the Texas Scottish Rite Hospital, Mary Beth Izaki, Pete Carter, Scott Oishi, and Chris Stutz. So I am super happy to get this chance to talk to Mike, and he is going to talk about a special, endeavor that is really how he lives his life, but is coming in print to all of us very soon. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it. It really is an honor.
Before you get into the heart of the episode, I do want to mention a lot of the work that you're doing that isn't on in your formal bio sketch and in your CV. You do a tremendous, an incredible amount of mentoring. I think channeled through social media mainly, but with tons of underrepresented groups in medicine. The work that you're doing is fantastic. And I remember pulling you aside and wanted to talk to you a few years ago at one of the Hand Society meetings, just to know more about your work. I mean, it's incredible what you're doing. And Mike has been a tremendous resource to so many people who would have no idea how to approach applying to med school, how to approach residencies, and not just people going into plastics or hand, just people from all over in terms of aspirations to be a medicine. So Mike, I want to make sure that that work gets recognized before we jump in. And it does dovetail nicely into what you're going to talk about with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's the day-to-day job as a pediatric hand surgeon is, amazing. Taking care of those patients and with their families and the team that we have here. But the social media aspect, just like you mentioned, the mentorship and doing outreach, I can't get away from that. I really always go back to that to try to bring the next student forward if we can.
Yeah, it's really great, and certainly is something that we can all aspire to do more of. So explain how, for the listeners who may not, and I don't know if it's just on Twitter or as far as the social media part of it, but is this, do you have, students of all varieties reaching out to you who may not otherwise know your work, just saying, kind of asking you questions, or is this kind of just talk to me about how it works?
Yeah, sure. So it started in the end of my residency and the beginning of my hand fellowship. And simply, I just looked at, it was specifically Instagram mostly. But I just, I saw that there was a lot of physicians and surgeons on there. But to be honest, I saw that a lot of them were, modeling the latest handbag or promoting something, to monetize it in some way or form. And I was just a little bit taken aback because I was, I'd meet students and I would look at social media and it didn't really make that connection. And this is before the pandemic. But at that point, I realized, physicians and surgeons are working so hard in what they do with their head down, doing research, doing academic pursuits. And sometimes we fail to look up and see the next generation that's coming through. And the next generation was on social media. And actually, the world was on social media, right? Because we quickly found that out during the pandemic and the misinformation and, which is sometimes ongoing. And so I do think it's incredibly powerful to stay relevant to where patients are. Patients right now, when they come into our clinic, they've watched a TikTok video, right, about what their congenital hand difference is. They've seen somebody who's had that congenital hand difference before sometimes, which in the past never would ever happen, And so, so that was staying in touch with that. And so by showing what I was doing on social media, showing what I was doing on social media in real life and telling my story resonates with students, and students will essentially reach out to me. And so I am in the Central Valley in California, where it's a standalone pediatric hospital. And so I don't have medical students that are interested in surgery that come through. I have undergrads that come through. I have residents at UCSF Fresno that come through. But the way that I've been able to help, at least contribute, is some of these students that don't have a home program from another part of the country. And help them kind of guide them through the process, connect them with mentors, similarly to what's done in an academic institution where you have a student, you connect them when they go to someplace else, you connect them. And so it's been really nice to be able to help, at least in a small degree, to send out my recommendations for plastic surgery to get those students into these really competitive fields.
Yeah, I love it. Chris and I have talked on the podcast about the role of mentorship. And the way you put it actually makes me feel like I take some of my opportunities to do just that for granted. We have a wealth of incredible medical students and residents and fellows and people applying to those roles. And I think I do. I've learned to, value the impact I can have, we can have. All of us can have, and I'm trying to kind of, as some might say, lean into that a little bit more. I know, Chris, you've done a great job with mentoring opportunities as well.
I've done my best. I think that many of us have been the beneficiaries of mentors who've been very influential. I had a mentor in medical school who essentially gave me the opportunity to do research with her, and from there, it just kind of took off. Even little things like Mike was saying, seemingly little things to us, like just connecting somebody, sending an email, making it easier for them to get their foot in the door, makes a huge difference to those that are following behind us. And I think it's incredibly smart, you know, for you, Mike, to have recognized that, you know, we have to meet the next generation where they are and not expect them to come to us. You know, I think one of the things I'd love to hear about is this special edition or special issue of hand clinics that you have co-edited. I'd love to learn just kind of a high level what the issue is about, because that's why we wanted to have you on to discuss that, and also how you, you know, earned your way towards that opportunity.
Yeah, I'm, you know, incredibly grateful to Dr. Kevin Chung for allowing me to take this on, essentially. And I presented several topics, actually, one of them being, you know, pediatric hand surgery. But the one, you know, that I was particularly interested in, and you could tell by, you could actually tell, I was looking back at some of my notes about how much I cared about each individual topic within the issue. And I think that likely showed Dr. Chung that there was a lot to talk about. And so it's less than a year. So back in January of this year, this topic of diversity, equity, and inclusion, we started to talk about it as making this into an issue within hand clinics. And I look at hand clinics, I'm actually really lucky at Texas Scottish Rite when I was there, they had two volumes of everything, like the Journal of Hand Surgery and hand clinics. They had two volumes. One volume was in the main aspect of the hand center. The other volume was in the main aspect of the pediatric orthopedic hospital. I got to have that extra copy. And so I have like full copies of the hand clinics sitting up here, and I look at them and I pull them out. And, you know, Gilbert wrote a copy on pediatric hand, and there's just there, when you go through those issues, they mean a lot to me because that's my reference, right? It's my reference point for some really tough topics. And Dr. Mitch Pett, he was the one that introduced me to Dr. Chung. He had just finished editing the, an article on avascular necrosis, which is not article, sorry, an issue on it. And, you know, it just came out, and it's, those articles are amazing. And I know somebody else who's currently using them to figure out a tough problem within Keenbox, looking at that issue to help figure out that problem. And so that's where the initial idea came about, was these discussions with Dr. Chung and coming up with a list of articles. And actually, one of the persons that I really spent a lot of time talking with was with the American Society of Surgery of the Hand, and was specifically our diversity task force, was Dr. Megan Conti-Mica, right? Getting her insight and initially coming up with this table of content and deciding what are some of these topics that need to be, we need to go into on a deeper level to understand and take it to a higher level. And so I know you guys talk about the Harvard Business Review all the time, but that is what I love. I love those articles, how you can pick them up, read it, and then apply it. And so that was an approach that we took with this as well, is how can we make this very interesting, right? This isn't a diversity, equity, and inclusion course that you have to take online and get through it to get a certificate at the end, or something you have to check off, you know, be for when you're coming into a hospital. How can we actually make a series of articles that someone can read, enjoy it, and then hand it off to someone else? And that's essentially what we've done through these 15 separate articles. It's not me, right? This is, if looking at the author list and all the authors that spent a significant amount of time to make this their specific article come into fruition and come into complete clarity. It was such an enjoyable experience in working with Dr. Chung and working with all of the authors to make this a reality, right?
Well, it's a great introduction. And I have to say, the list of authors you were able to put together and the chapters they have written are really remarkable. I mean, it's sort of as I think you mentioned in your introduction, it's sort of a who's who in hand surgery. So many remarkable contributors. Maybe if it's okay, can we perhaps dive a little deeper in your chapter? or I mean, so you wrote the introduction with Kevin, and then your chapter is the underrepresented minority in hand surgery, challenges and strategy for success. And your co-author was Marvin Dingle. So tell us a little, without giving away everything, but tell us a little about that article and Marvin's contribution, and just give us a little more there.
Yeah. So the preface was something that, you know, we've discussed before within the diversity committee and the Hand Society, and something that I frequently present, and and I talk about it all the time, because we talk about it with our patients all the time, right? When we mention there's a hand problem, right? They're like, oh, the bone is broken, right? But it wasn't just the bone that's broken, right? It was the hand versus an ATV, right? It's the tendon, the ligaments, the soft tissue, the skin, the nerves, you know, the blood vessels, the skin. And so all these tissue types, the diversity of the hand is what allows it to function, right? That's what, that's why this specialty was created by Dr. Bunnell, right? And in that same light, we really value the diversity of how we are trained. And, you know, somebody who comes in, who's trained in orthopedics and knows how to put bone together, you know, for them to go into a plastic surgery type, it may even be within orthopedic, something that a fellowship that focuses on microsurgery, that focuses on nerve, that's going to make them a better hand surgeon. They're going to be more complete. They're going to be more comfortable. And guess what? They're going to be better at taking call or taking care of patients wherever they end up practicing, right? So that you're blessing when you train somebody and you train them completely as a hand surgeon, comfortable in all these aspects, you are making a hand surgeon that's comfortable from the fingertip to the shoulder. They're going to land somewhere in the United States and they're going to be an incredible hand surgeon for their patients. And so we value that. We value these things as a hand surgeon. We value the anatomy. We value the training. And so that's what the preface is talking about, is we, in that same light, who we train also becomes important. And that diversity of people, whether it's female, whether it's an underrepresented minority or someone with an LGBTQ background, it's anybody who comes through is going to make our specialty stronger. And so we have seen those changes, particularly in the last 20 years, but something has changed. There's been essentially things have come to a standstill as far as the percentage of the underrepresented minority. And so what does that mean? It's defined by the AAMC as Native American, Pacific Islander, Latino or Hispanic, and then Black or African American. And so when we look at those numbers, when we look at the data, the percentage that are represented in orthopedics, in plastic surgery, in general surgery, and especially in hand surgery, are incredibly low. And that's what the article talks about, is Dr. Marvin Dingle is awesome. He's from the military, Walter Reed. He's currently doing his fellowship at Ortho Carolina. He's going to be incredibly trained, right? And he's going to go back to Walter Reed back into the military, and he's going to be an incredible hand surgeon. And so what we did was put together an article of, rather than focusing on, you know, the secret of hand surgery, you know, this is the secret field, you know, that nobody else, that people may not know a whole lot about and is a little bit mysterious, and lay it out in a way that I can literally send this, you know, send this article, give this article, hand this article to an underrepresented undergraduate student, medical student, resident, fellow, and even an attending. And they can read it and understand what it takes to get there and some of the challenges that they can anticipate. Because it's not easy, right? It's you have to get into one of the most competitive subspecialties, orthopedics or plastic surgery being the most common. And then you have to reapply into hand surgery, which as a fellowship, you know, that's very competitive, especially if you're coming from orthopedics and plastic surgery the same. It's you have to interview at many places, go through the match process to get into a very special field. And so how do you do this? You have to have a meticulous approach that involves mentorship, that involves ensuring that you're somebody telling you, right, you have to do well on your in-service, on your in-service training exams. You have to do well on your, you have to get letters of recommendation, things that you think are standard, right? And I'm sure are standard at the top fellowships. But sometimes if one of those things gets lost or doesn't get checked off, that person can fall off essentially and lose that opportunity to help and help our field, join our field, and really make it as strong as it can be. And then Dr. Dingell even introduced a part, you know, a section called the life interrupted. You know, what if, you know, you have someone who is African-American, for example, and something happens across the country, you see it through the media, and it's violence or something. And that could specifically affect that resident, right? That fellow, that attending, to a point where it may not always be seen and understood. And so even as a fellow, as an attending, reading on this, it's almost like, I wish I had this. I wish I had this type of guidance from someone that understood my perspective as I went through this really hard process to become an excellent surgeon. So that's that one in a nutshell. And so it just goes into specific details on how to get into this specialty. And what's cool too is it doesn't, anybody can read this article, right? That's what's awesome about this too, is we want it so others can understand, and any, this can be handed to anybody and they'll understand how to get into our special field.
What I love about what you just said is that, you know, it takes some of the mystique off of a lot of these concepts. For those people that are familiar with it and have lived it, but have not found a way to identify with others and share that experience, it gives them kind of the, hey, it's okay. Like, this is what people go through. And I've never really thought about it or talked about it, but now I know that I can bring this up or at least share this article with somebody so they can understand where I'm coming from. And then, you know, what I loved about the table of contents is that you cover a ton of topics that, you know, are accessible from various points. You know, whether you're, for example, say you're a white male hand surgeon and you kind of understand some of this stuff, but it's a little bit intimidating to try to step out of your comfort zone. You introduce the concept of allyship, which I think is hugely important. And even, you know, more general than allyship, but kind of the sponsorship and mentorship that we talk about in our professional circles all the time, agnostic of whether somebody's underrepresented or not, but maybe talking about the value of that and how much more important it is perhaps to somebody who doesn't have all the opportunities that, you know, that we, like Chuck said, we take for granted, you know, what we're able to take advantage of ourselves and make available to our trainees in our immediate network. So I think it's fantastic. I mean, you know, one thing I would ask you just purely from an editor perspective is that this seems to be, and rightfully so, a bit of a passion project for you. How do you allow others to write this? Because I bet you probably could have written every single article in this. And it's hard because I know that sometimes people feel so strongly about it. It's really hard to let your baby go and see somebody else write it, perhaps in a different way, maybe just as good or even better than you would have written it, but not exactly how you would have encapsulated it. So how'd you navigate that?
That was the fun part, actually. I really enjoyed the fact that I didn't have to write all these articles. Just kidding. I really enjoyed that I got to, I had the opportunity to think, come up with this, the table of contents, and come up with what ideas and topics need to be covered, and then figure out who would be the best person to take on this topic. Not only that, but hopefully they have the bandwidth, right, to take it across the finish line, right? Because these are topics, all of these articles are articles that have never been written about. They've never been written about. And that was the part where I knew we were onto something, because before we even started writing the articles, I pulled 255 articles, references from orthopedics, plastic surgery, and general surgery. That was my general literature review to include all of these articles and just suggestions for the articles, for the authors. And so, yeah, you're totally right. I think, could I have taken on each article? I could have, but I was, you know, thinking of like Dr. Moore, for example, right? She is the chief at Ohio State. Like I was honored, you know, that she accepted to take on this really challenging article on talking about the diverse leadership in hand surgery. You know, Dr. Flatt was the second immigrant to be the president of the American Society for Surgery of the Hand. And I think I'm confusing them between the first and the second, but he, you know, when I found that out, like, I'm like, we are onto something talking about these topics and talking about them to include women, minorities, and something that we may have already, something that you take, you know, you don't even consider. Like for me, I came from Stanford, right? Where Jim Chang was my boss as a medical student, right? And one of my mentors, and watching him and him training me through medical school and residency. And then I was finishing residency. He was going to become the president of the Hand Society. And I was like, that's amazing, you know, and he's definitely it just makes sense. Like, of course he's going to be the president of the Hand Society. You know, he works so hard and mentors so many and has been focused on the Hand Society for so long, but he's only, to my knowledge, and from what I can tell, he's the second Asian American president for the Hand Society, right? That's something that we didn't even think about until seeing some of these topics come into fruition, and the impact that many of these leaders have made. And I love how, you know, every author made their contribution as far as keeping it very relevant, right? We're not just talking about leadership as far as, you have to be, what defines success, right? You have to become a leader within the Hand Society or AAHS. No, there's different types of levels of success from the position that you're in, innovation or an academic perspective. There's so many ways. And that what's awesome is several of these articles just to help define that and show that there are many ways to become a successful hand surgeon. And so, as you know, there's 15 separate articles. So I literally can talk about each one for an hour and talk about how the process came to light. But every single author, another example would be Dr. Wendy Chen. She is a plastic surgeon. She practices in Houston and a hand surgeon trained at UCLA. She has a group she's created called Time's Up PRS related to plastic surgery and creating general awareness too. And so she took on the Women in Hand Surgery Leadership and Legacy. And she conducted, like, I want to say like 100 interviews of different women within hand surgery, her and Aileen Topaz. And just to get, you know, to get a like synthesizing all those interviews into one article, into the first article that's ever been written about the women in hand surgery leadership and legacy, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. That's, you know, you're profiling Dr. Mary Beth Izaki, right? She's looking at your article. And they had everybody, you know, sign off on their article into a level of detail. And it's just, it really is incredible the amount of work that each specific author did. And I can talk about each one in a lot of details, but I'll refrain because I think I'll take up an hour or more.
Well, I know we could talk for a long time and passionately about it. It is super interesting because if I get asked to write a chapter on, and you know, we talked about ABM Lunate, you know, I can create a little internal excitement about writing about ABM the Lunate, but it's just a little bit. But it is, obviously you've hit on something important to many people, and the passion that was brought to the table for these chapters is evident. Your own passion, as you've so nicely shared with us tonight, but in the writing of others. And just to, before Chris kind of wraps things up, I don't know that we ever formally stated, this is the February 2023 Hand Clinics, and the title of the of the book is Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Hand Surgery, and it is edited by Mike Galvez and Kevin Chong. And for those of you who don't have access to it, find access, because it's remarkably good. Chris and I are lucky enough to have access. And I'll turn it over to Chris to make a few final points before we wrap this up.
And so congratulations to you and Kevin, Mike, on a fantastic edition. I look forward to trying to get my hands on the paper copy at the library, but definitely reading it online. We'll make sure to link it in the show notes. You sent us a particular article that one of our friends of the podcast and a personal friend, Micah Sinclair, wrote Micah wrote this with, let me double check. I want to make sure I get the credit.
Bobby Chabra.
With Dr. Chabra over at UVA. And it's great because it talks about issues of retention of, diverse faculty and kind of what the implications of, if you don't have a diverse faculty, you're going to have a hard time recruiting diverse trainees and how you can make sure that that stays an important piece of building a department and leadership. So tons of stuff in here, really accessible at every level. So congrats on that. I think that you're doing some amazing work and looking forward to seeing maybe in 10 years, you can give us another hand clinics with an update on the progress. You can convince whoever's the editor in chief at that point to give you another shot at it.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I can rave about that article as well for a long time, but that was exactly right. It's you have someone who's built a department at the University of Virginia and the thought process behind it and the ways to be successful and having these actionable items it can become relevant. And so that's why I really encourage and I'm hopeful that many, and it's actually open access for the next 3 months. And it was great that Elsevier agreed to allow it to be open access, but I'm hopeful, that residents, fellows, attendings will end up doing exactly what the dream was, which is coming up with something that is interesting, that is important, that is for our patients, and that we can hand to each other. Right, hand to each other and say, you got to check this out. This is a way that I've made some improvements in mentorship and recruiting and understanding how to be an ally in understanding how to reduce microaggressions and implicit bias, et cetera. So I really appreciate you guys. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, Mike. Well, the fact that you said it's open access is all of our international listeners' ears perked up because I know that it's sometimes hard to get access to American journals. And while there's clearly an American perspective and bias in how these topics were written, I know they're probably very relevant and salient to listeners all over the world. So, Mike,
There's an article on the International Medical Graduate Perspective in Hand Surgery, which profiles not just those that have contributed, like Dr. Neil Ford Jones, Dr. Linda Sandales, she was the first Latina hand surgeon I had met, but also talks about the challenges, like the realities. And that's what we need. And hopefully it'll be taken in.
So we'll make sure to put the link to the open access download in the show notes. You heard it here first, you get it for 3 months. So make sure to get to your computers and download that. Mike, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to many successes for this issue.
Mike, thank you so much. Yeah, Mike, thank you so much. Fantastic talking to you, and congratulations again. Really remarkable work, and I have dived in a little bit, and I look forward to diving in more. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Chris, that was fun. Let's do it again real soon.
Sounds good. Well, be sure to check us out on Twitter at Hand Podcast. Hey, Chuck, what's your Twitter handle?
Mine is at Congenital Hand. What about you?
Mine is at Chris DMD, spelled DY. And if you'd like to email us, you can reach us at handpodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
And be sure to leave a review. That helps us get the word out.
Special thanks to Peter Martin for the amazing music. And remember, keep the upper hand and come back next time.